Hello everyone, welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. My name is Tim Edwards and we are going to be talking about PC games. This is not a special podcast by any stretch of the imagination.
It's a pedestrian podcast about PC games.
Joining me in the studio today is unspecial boy Richard McCormick.
Hello.
Entirely average Craig Pearson.
Oh, hello.
And mediocre Tom Francis.
What?
So what we want to talk about today is a new issue and all the stuff that's in it and all the issues of PC gaming of the day. Our new issue has Dragon Age 2 as its cover, and it is very exciting, isn't it, Rich?
It is thoroughly exciting, and I went out to see it.
It's pretty exciting that it features Gordon Freeman, seemingly.
I was watching Reddit, a gaming community, and they were so convinced it was going to be Oblivion.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls 5 it was announced, because they were saying it's going to be a big fantasy game. So excited, and I was just watching.
It's because Gaming Informer teases like that.
Yeah.
Fantasy fans will be really pleased about a big sequel that wasn't a D3.
So easily just tell everyone right now.
So Dragon Age 2, what it is, a departure from Dragon Age, you'd say?
Yes,
it's a first-person shooter?
It's not.
What are the big headline kind of changes?
The headline changes are you now have a voiced character.
What?
Yeah, he's got a real voice and everything. They were saying that's they basically presented it to me as he's bloodier, sexier, and something else here.
Which was the exact same cover line words we used to try and sell The Witcher 2.
Voicier.
There's more chatting.
So the new character, he is a shepherd of Dragon Age.
Yeah, he's called Hawk. I'm not sure if it's got an E on the end, so he's either Hawk or Hawk. And he is the champion of Kirkwall. And you know you are the champion of Kirkwall when you come into the game, but you don't really know much about Kirkwall. Kirkwall is a city in the Free Marches, the first one took place in Ferelden, which is kind of a south-easterly continent on the region on the map.
Right.
And north of that is a loose collection of city-states, like, I think 15th century Venice and all that kind of area, and so they can be artistically different. And Kirkwall's one of the cities in there. And the champion, he's called the champion. And the game, you spend a decade in the game, whereas Dragon Age 2 was apparently 2 years. Dragon Age 1, sorry, was apparently 2 years in length. You get a decade.
It did feel like that.
I think I got about 18 months through it.
And then across these 10 years, you are being talked about by two people, Cassandra and Varric.
So it's a framed narrative thing where, so it's a bit like Monkey Island 2 in that people are telling a story of what you did in the game.
Yeah, they said Rashomon as their example, but yeah, it's basically
they do it actually at the start of Mass Effect, don't they?
Yeah.
You fill in all these forms saying, I'm a spacer and I was my parents were killed and I'm ruthless, but to get the job done.
Just
and then you see two people saying, oh, what about Shepard? But she's a spacer, but her parents were killed, but she's ruthless and gets the job done. Wow, how did you know?
You read my file.
So you don't get a choice over the sex of your character? Or?
You have a choice over the sex, and you have a choice over... I couldn't work out... I asked them, but they said they weren't sure whether you could actually change the look of your character. But the only one we saw on the trip was the main male character, and he has...
Very un-BioWare.
Yeah. The quite interesting discussion was had over, over in Edmonton, which is where the studio's based, and they apparently Mike Darroth, who is the executive producer on the team, went to the Mass Effect team when they started Mass Effect and said, you can't have a voice character in a BioWare game. You're stupid. Your game's going to fail. And then apparently went down and apologised after they really had to make it. Completely right.
So it's my fear with Dragon Age 2 is that the original Dragon Age was a fairly hardcore RPG. Mm. I think but it feels like it's turning in. Is it turning into an animated storybook?
I will preface this by saying Dragon Age 2 is really good looking, like as in I'm really excited about it.
Okay.
And it does look like it should be a very good game. The Mass Effect influences are obvious, as in they've got a conversation wheel now and the voice character and things like that. The minute you get into combat, it is Dragon Age Origins. It's exactly the same. The only difference in combat is they want to make it quicker, and they're very aware of the hardcore PC RPG crowd, and they were saying it's not combat, fighting the battles aren't going to change at all. And
I mean, interesting though, because the original Dragon Age was really well received on the PC and not so well received on the console. I mean, the console's got like 8 out of 10, but everyone seemed to suggest that this was for the first in a long time, it was an actual PC game first and then a console game second.
Well, they were saying that the thing they wanted to push on the combat was the speed, and they were. I played as an archer when I first started it, and
she's pretty much the worst class.
Yeah, exactly. I found that out fairly quickly, and then your critical shot is one of the best archer skills you have, and critical shot means you go and you stretch your bow back for 5 seconds, and you go then you fire your arrow off, and then it might hit someone. You got to, you know, you got to wait 5 seconds for payoff, and you're in being hit in the face by a goblin or something, and you want them to
stupid
kind of
goblins.
Yeah, you want to hit them in the face immediately, and that is the difference now. They're saying that their argument was when you push a button, something awesome happens.
There's only one button now.
Yeah, it's the kill button.
Giant red button.
Is awesome it? Button.
But they were saying that the critical shot will be the same pretty much, so there still will be a cooldown, but they said there was no reason the cooldown couldn't be at the end. So rather than it being draw the shot, fire the shot, end of the shot, it's now the shot fires immediately, then you have to kind of shake it off afterwards.
I love that, like, fictionally. That's that, brilliant. You know, pulling back a bow really, really carefully and then releasing an arrow is illogical, but like firing off a quick shot and then just being exhausted for 5 seconds. But, oh, for fuck's sake, that was hard work.
I think actually what they need to do for the critical shot, if they're going to change that, is for to make the person have fire 3 arrows and then it takes him ages to reload it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I just have an arrow gun.
Yeah. They were saying that it was all kind of, it was all balancing and stuff, but they were very conscious of the PC, the hardcore PC crowd, and the hardcore RPG crowd. I think a lot of console
people. Do you consider yourself a hardcore RPG crowd?
He's only one man.
I think not as hardcore as the hardcore. There are a mystical hardcore who exists in forest somewhere, and they are, and they're probably more hardcore than me.
A forest called RPG Codex.
Is it still going to be massive and huge? Because one of the things they said at Develop during the talk was that DLC is this big thing, you know, everyone's saying. Mm. And they were a bit reticent to put Dragon Age DLC out there because Dragon Age is so big anyway, it almost doesn't need DLC.
Well, they were saying that they Dragon Age was a case of let's make it 70 hours long, and then it ended up being much more than that because they actually had more and more ideas. Mm. I think you don't have to worry too much at BioWare about having ideas to fill up content. I think this team is more RPG focused than the Mass Effect team, who were a completely separate team within the same place.
There's a quote in the magazine where there are two interesting quotes I think that kind of are worth talking about. First one is basically someone saying fucking cheese wheels.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's Matt Goldman, who is the art director for the franchise, and he's saying that he realised the kind of dark fantasy idea, and obviously Dragon Age had the blood splatters and everything like that, and Blood Splatter Dragon was really nice. And then you get to the Mage's Tower where all these secret things are being done and they get locked there as children, and he was saying that there's just far too many blueberry pies and fucking cheese wheels everywhere. And it's just all those villages were, whenever they needed, you know, things to put around the villages, they just put down stick a cheese wheel there because it looks like, you know, fantasy.
and then
they were saying that they had to, you know, they realised that you don't need to fill every bit of empty space with something that says, hey, we're in fantasy land, that you can kind of have empty space. And that's
so
the art style.
They are going for a more stylized art style.
Yes, they're big. The touchstones were kind of like...
Tom and Jerry, I heard.
Not quite. It's like Yojimbo, things like that. So it's black and white, and it's
Jimbo.
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo.
Oh, sorry. Jimbo, the
Simpsons character.
Really elephant.
So it's a Kira Kurosawa film. So it's lots of like use of contrast, high contrast. So they were saying the backgrounds are quite stark, and their enemies are the big focus, and your character's the big focus, and spells look a lot more beefy and badass. Really.
Going back to Jimbo, wasn't he a aircraft? Cartoon aircraft?
I think a Jumbo. A Dumbo.
Or budget little helicopter.
The only Jimbo I know in cartoons is Jimbo from The Simpsons.
Mm. Okay, fine. So the other thing that... So the phrase they use is hot-rodded the art style. They
were, God.
The guy did preface that by saying...
Were you interviewing the phones?
No, he said the marketing told him to say it, so it's fine.
Did he look defeated as he said
that? I think the third time he said it on that day, he started to, yeah. But it was just... You know, you can see Dragon Age there's a lot of opportunity to make an impressive artistic looking
game. It's a hot rodder.
But it looks very brown, and the first one, Origins, looks very brown, but this one looks like, you know, you could say that is some battlefield somewhere rather than...
I wasn't terribly excited by the world of Dragon Age 1. Like, it seemed very Tolkien and traditional in ways that, like, people bitch about Oblivion being too traditional, but I found that was, like, lush and sort of quite interesting. And
Can anyone remember the original trailer? That looked really epic and exciting. Because
this is the new shit trailer.
No. The very first one, which was just like this army amassing against this giant wall, basically.
Yeah.
And it just looked like epic and awesome. Did any of that happen in Dragon Age?
That happens at the start of the game.
Yeah, it's like very start of the
game. Open the trailer, and then the rest is just pause, do attacks.
Dragon Age is a fantastic game.
There's a lot of epic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the free marches, they were saying, gives them an opportunity to be completely artistically free in the free marches, because each, rather than it being, Ferelden is one region where everyone kind of generally, like, yeah. Orlais is their version of France, and Ferelden is their version of the UK. And in the free marches, it is this loose collection of five, six, well, I haven't confirmed how many yet, but a lot of cities. And Kirkwall is an ex-quarry. They talked about some other ones as well, but can't say too much about, but they were kind of saying...
The issue, basically what they're trying to get at is that the original Dragon Age is just like medieval light.
Generic fantasy. Yeah,
and they are looking for more interesting fantasies to
And it already explore. Looks it already looks like they want to give each town its own feeling and its own artistic idea behind it. And they look like they are doing that.
Because like Osramar, the dwarven city, is just every dwarven city that's ever been, isn't it? And
I think
it's no surprise to find elves living in a forest.
Yeah, it's quite nice to find an art director that was quite, you know, right, I did this, but completely severing that, and we were not happy with this, and this, and they were saying...
Because the original game was in development for a very long time. Mm.
A lot of that seems to have been working out the world and the writing and how characters are, because they were saying that 2 years spent to actually kind of build the fantasy behind it. And we saw a massive world map of the entire place with all these things I'd never heard of before, and I pointed to bits on it, and you know, Mike Dareth was pointing that, that's where that happened, and that's where the first blight was, and that's where Thingy was born. It's impressive amount of kind of background.
They just had five things written on a piece of paper and they could tell that whatever first thing got in my hand to it.
Cool. So
when's that out?
It's going to be out spring 2011. I should probably also say what the main story is for it.
Don't spoil it.
Okay. Right. It's apparently all we were told is that it's going to be revolutionary forces, and your champion of Kirkwall across the 10 years, at the end of the 10 years, becomes something that is very important in this battle. So they
sounds
are
sounds a bet, Peter Moore, on you,
but they're being you're being talked about by the two people, and you influence what you did. So they say, remember when the champion was at this battle, and then you go to that battle and you do. Yeah. Whatever he did, whether you did it by fair means or foul, but also apparently,
you mean the time I
apparently it's not going to be kind of Dragon
Age
Greatest
Hits, it's all called a flashback.
Well, essentially, but also you do still get the camp discussions apparently, because we were saying, is it just going to be kind of battle jump, and it's not. It's going to be, there's a lot of side questing and other stuff. So
we were at Develop yesterday.
Yes.
Craig and I I didn't see you in there. Did you see the Fable 3 presentation?
No, I deliberately avoided the Fable 3 presentation.
I sat through the Fable 3 presentation, and there is a leveling mechanic in there that is absolutely batshit, and like, it's one of those things where you just want to say, stop, don't do that.
Is it the thing that has gates?
Yes.
So gates.
When you level up in Fable, Molyneux is very keen to make sure that you don't have any interface in the game, but he still wants to keep the mechanics that those interfaces give. So he wants you to level up, and then you are transported to a very long path that eventually leads to a castle, but it is blocked by gates, and it is essentially a metaphor for your development.
Does this just happen wherever you are? So if you're in the middle of a fight, you level up, you're ported away from the fight, and then
with a loading screen.
What?
So you get to it, and then you are delivered, basically. So you open the gate, and then behind the gate are a series of treasure chests, and in each of those treasure chests is a new skill
plus one thing.
That's so lame. Like, the point of getting rid of the interface is to remove the abstraction and the absurd absurdities of that thing, and then you just add in an even more absurd situation that actually involves walking along a corridor and finding a skill in a chest.
Like, well, if you, I mean,
utterly defeats the point.
What if you accidentally walk into the bathroom or something? Oh no, my skills.
I tell you what game did that well though, System Shock.
I was about to say, the intro to System Shock. You feel like you're actually doing something.
Go through training, but
you pick a branch of the military by basically going through one of three doors to kind of join their academy. And then after that, you're on like a sort of space shuttle dock, and you can take shuttles to different academies where they'll teach you different things. And you're told, go to this academy, you get plus two agility and plus one strength. You go to this one, you get some tech skill.
It gives you a little bit of background as well.
So each time you took a shuttle, it would just fade out and give you like a little kind of paragraph of text saying, oh, during your years, you made some friends and enemies, but a good time was had by all. You really learned something.
The ship blew up.
I've entirely forgotten what I was going to say, but it's
Fable 3's ridiculous leveling system.
So the worst thing about it is that there's no representation of the skills in the kind of shape or kind of interesting bits of the chests. All that comes up is fireball spell on the box, and then like +3 to fire or something. It's oh,
see, I'm really glad.
It makes me feel unclean thinking about it.
Are they going to change it so that the plus two strength chest is really muscular or something like
well,
that?
Well, they must be thinking about that, and they just have a
muscle chest.
Yeah, it may just be placeholder stuff.
Yeah.
I deliberately avoided that because I knew that. Well, there were a bunch of other at develop. They always have like these giant keynotes where everyone attends, and occasionally some poor sap will be put up against it. So I decided to fight for the little man. I went into a thing called Fate of the World.
Right.
Which is a strategy game, which everyone here knows I'm not a big strategy game.
Yeah.
But these guys called Red Redemption are making a game based on climate change.
Wow.
They're called Red Dead Redemption?
No, they're called Red Redemption.
I can't even say it without saying the dead in the middle.
Rockstar are aware of their name. Apparently these guys had it first. But instead of suing anyone who appropriates stuff that they own, they go to them and say, "We're really small, can you just help us?" So Oxfam did
Puppy
it,
dog eyes.
And they just went and said, "Can you help us?" And because it's part of Oxfam climate change, trying to change the world, whatever. Oxfam are helping them. I don't know what Oxfam are doing. I think Rockstar are helping them PR though.
Okay.
But this is modelled on accurate climate data, but it's not boring at all. So they give you challenges. So they say to you, raise the GDP of China.
Right.
And you've got like the next 200 years, but you can do it in any way you
challenge,
want.
But
well, that's the thing. China at the point in the game, China are the biggest superpower, and you're giving the challenge is to do it as, and you can be as good as you want or as evil as you want. So you could just start spamming coal mines
and
whatever.
So the objective is spamming coal.
No, it's to do it according to their mission structure.
Right.
And they want you to learn from either being good or being
right.
as cruel as gamers can be, because they really want people to actually have fun with the game as well. So that was the talk I went into, and it was a long, interesting, really fascinating talk about these guys with, like say, this model, all this accurate data that they want to turn into a proper game. Because he's influenced like Sim Earth and all this kind of stuff, and he said he could see the designers' sort of preferences in Sim Earth. You could do certain things. He said we don't want that. We want the preferences that come from the players and stuff like that.
The example that's always kind of trotted out at this point is the SimCity thing, where you can't really make a successful city in SimCity 2000 without investing in public transport.
Yeah. He used the Magnasaki, that guy who built he used that as an example of, this is what SimCity should do, but doesn't do it. This guy had to force all this stuff and work on it. He wants his game to be able to sort of do that kind of stuff.
Where's he based?
Oxford.
Shall we bring him in for a...
Well, I've already emailed him. Cool. I'm totally like, it's out in September and he hasn't, hasn't.
Yeah, so he should come and do a podcast with us.
Yeah, he probably would. Cool. He's a really fascinating guy. He had him and it's like seven other people, and they're talking about their development. And the good thing about developers, you hear a lot of different things about games industry you don't hear. So like they, instead of getting money from a publisher who wouldn't fund this for the fucking life of them, let's say they go to Oxfam, they go to all these people who understand that climate change is, I don't want to hear anyone here to listen to this and go, climate change is not happening, but in this system and where they get money from, these people believe that this is an important thing to tell people, an important thing for people to play.
It's a socialism, essentially.
It's Pinko call me a liberalism.
Yeah.
Except you can spam coal mines at the end of it.
Yeah, there's a card in it, apparently, because they made this for the BBC in a very more limited fashion.
Yeah.
And they were trying to say stuff like, what would happen? Because it's like, what would happen if you killed everyone over 50 in the world?
Party!
Exactly. They couldn't do that in the BBC game, so they're going to do it in their own game. They've got all these fascinating sort of things. What would happen if you did this? Mm. And then you watch the world react to it.
Cool.
Biscuit industry would collapse.
Yeah.
That's true. So many unused sweaters. We'd have sweater gardens.
Oxfam would make millions.
Cool. So, what else we got to talk about? I know the Space Marine game that I saw. We should talk about that.
Didn't we almost mention it in the last podcast and then like stop suddenly?
Yeah. So, I
didn't know this was coming to PC until you went and saw it.
We're announcing it as coming to PC.
Okay.
That was what happened. I said something that this was coming out and Space Marine, and then we said, no, it's not coming out.
So, Space Marine is coming to PC. It is Relic, who are PC Heroes, making a third-person action shooter that is primarily being made for console. Actually, like, frustratingly, the game is quite good. It is a Gears of War-style shooter in which you play a Gears Space Marine. Gears of Warhammer, exactly.
But didn't they say something like, we don't take cover?
Yeah, but Space Marines don't take cover.
Well, you don't need to be
not
that
smart
much
enough. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there are quite in-depth complex cover mechanics in Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah. Not in games, damn it.
But so instead they're replacing the cover system with quite a action-slashy melee system. So it's a really cool mix, actually, of bam, 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 until the orc gets close to you, and then you just start slashing away as if it's kind of a God of War style thing. Okay. I can't think of a slightly PC example of a third person slashy thing. Anyway, but it's really fun and it looks cool and it's Relic and it's really kind of, so Relic are masters of big action, boom, crash, smash. You know, if anyone who's played Company of Heroes understands that you come away from that game feeling drained
and traumatized.
And you know, I first time I played a Company of Heroes multiplayer match, I felt like I needed to have a sit down and just kind of rock gently back and forth for a bit. It's that kind of brutality. Putting you inside that Dawn of War universe and ground level, shooty-shooty, looks really nice.
Do you have a literal Warhammer?
No, you have a chainsword.
It's a missed opportunity there.
It is.
So that's the problem. Like, that is authentic to Warhammer 40,000, but it's going to look like they're copying Gears of War's chainsword.
Yeah, exactly.
You can give them one of the other ones, though. They've got enough. Various power fists surely are quite fun. Just a massive punching man.
And I've always kind of wondered what power swords are actually like to use, because they're just like swords
just like,
that blow.
Jesus, look at that!
They're basically magic swords, but you kind of wonder if you hit someone that does it like discharge some energy through them, or does it like plow the blade into them harder or something?
Yeah, they have chain swords, don't they, as well? So
yeah,
that's always cool.
I kind of probably make me enormously unpopular, but I don't really like the idea of using chain swords in combat. Like, to me, like, I love fantasy swords and sorcery stuff, and it's all about hitting someone with something really sharp so that it severs a limb or something. And chainsaw, like, it doesn't really matter how hard you hit them, because that's not what does the cutting. You have to kind of wait for it to belt it takes the saw through. And
have you ever used a chainsaw?
No.
Basically, you know, I mean,
when have you?
It's got the gyroscopic force of the difficult to angle.
I'll move my chair further.
So I was just feeling like, this is very unrealistic.
So when you were murdering your last victim, you discovered that
chainsaws do have a kind of hardware application for cutting down trees and stuff.
But it's got this constantly spinning thing in it, so it would be difficult to.
Gears of War takes you out of combat as well when you are doing that, the attack. That's it, and then we can touch you, and that's 3-4 seconds away. Yeah. It's fun to watch, obviously, but you don't really.
So, this has got kind of like combinations of attacks, and you can kind of block and counter and that kind of thing. It's properly like you are bam, 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 doing a third person thing, and then as they get close, it's absolutely seamless in its transition to melee stuff.
Yeah. Is it quite like Devil May Cry in its way that you can do that kind of in and out of range to close?
Well,
combat?
No, because I mean, it. The viewpoint from where you're playing is Gears of War. It's not like, so Devil May Cry is the camera's set much further back.
Fluid as well.
And it's more about ninja acrobatics.
Yeah.
Space Marine is donk, 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 kind of chunky walking forward.
If you get like an over-the-shoulder camera for a Space Marine, isn't the camera like miles back because it can't see over the shiver shoulders?
Well, yeah, peeking over a shoulder.
It's like extra shoulder pads on the shoulder pads.
But where and what?
Where?
I don't know what you're doing.
So you are the first kind of scene of the game is you kind of crash landing on a forge world that has been taken over by orcs, and your entire squad crashes because your dropship crashes.
The whole squad was wiped out. I crash landed on the planet.
Yeah, also, I'm a space marine.
Get to the evac site, marine. Stay and frosty.
And then you shoot some shit up, and that continues in the same vein. There's like bits where
I bet this is how the game was pitched as well.
Yeah. And there's bits where I'm trying to I really like this game, you bastards. And you shoot some shit up. And there are bits where other Marines are involved. I'm going to be really careful how I say this. There was, in the multiplayer system that they showed, in the front end of the game, there is options for multiplayer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, clearly co-op as well. And I quite like you. Co-op Marines shooting the shit up would be great.
Yeah, you could have a Devastator squadron or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So precisely.
What races do they have in it? Because obviously the 40K universe has got such a huge amount of stuff. Where do they draw the line at being action game plus super nerdy thing?
Well, they have... So the stuff they showed was pure orcs and Marines. The one criticism I have of that demo, which will be at Gamescom, I guess, is that it is pure Marines, pure orcs. And orcs, in the best of circumstances, don't have much AI about them. They don't really have much intelligence about them at all. And they tend to kind of... It's essentially just a green wave of of pain kind of coming towards you. I do want them. I think what the game needs is, you know, the feeling of fighting against something that is more interesting.
When you're playing the they did the Dawn of War series as well, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So when you're playing against the AI in that, does it feel like someone's smart is taking over, or is it just
no?
But so what it needs, they're mobs in Dawn of War too.
So yeah, okay.
What
it
needs is Chaos Marines or Eldar or
Tyranids
or, you know, whatever. Skaven.
Yeah.
Space Skaven.
But orcs as well, they're surely the least threatening of all things. They're just quite cute normally.
Well, that was one of the enemy,
aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They did talk a bit about that because I asked some of the developers, who are really nice actually. If you're listening, Andy and Raf, thank you for your hospitality. They specifically said that orcs in Warhammer are portrayed as like quite bumbling and idiotic, and they kind of ferociousizing them up.
That's almost a good word, didn't it?
That's my words, not theirs.
Is it quite, because obviously Dawn of War was quite cartoony in its portrayal, but I don't know how much that was hardware.
Well, it's not the Dawn of War tech. They're using some of the stuff that was used for Darksiders, which is that out on PC now, or is it
September
coming out on PC, which is another kind of third person action game, but it retains the same art style of Dawn of War, but it is like much more detailed and much more solid.
Is it? So it's the same development team that did Dawn of War.
It's the same company. They've hired a lot of people in with experience of action games.
It's always interesting to see like a development team do a game that's really not their general style. So,
and Relic have really got it going on. I think they've had a difficult couple of years, but they seem to be really focused and seem to really understand it. I've also got an amazing soft spot for them because when I went into their boardroom, my original Company of Heroes review was on the wall, and I felt this moment of like, oh wow, oh wow, and they were kind of like, it's him who did that review, and like, yeah.
I saw a fan visit for APB fans,
right,
who recently given the tour of Real Time World Studio.
This is not going to end well.
No, I just
have our 55% review frame.
No, they got the preview cover, and I just kind of thought, wow, they must spit on that as well.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah,
sorry guys.
So the other thing Relic have got going on is Company of Heroes Online, which is
Coho,
which is a cool acronym actually. Good work.
Right for Soho.
Yeah, exactly. Which is Company of Heroes, but free online with multiplayer. It is I'm trying to get my head around how something that good can be given away for free.
It's the same game and it's old, so
yeah,
it's a way of making money off of it again, really. Yeah. You know, I mean, they've sold it for like £3 and stuff on Steam recently. So
it's got microtransactions.
Everything in the game can. So the way they are approaching it is a persistent characters across it, and you can earn specialized units or you can buy specialized units. Using in-game currency. Every unit that's available is also available to earn, and you can get that stuff relatively quickly through just playing it and earning it. It's adapted from a model from China, but they're not directly taking the Chinese version that was out there. So the Chinese version, lots of games in China do very well if they include gambling elements. See how delicately I put that? And they are removing many of those gambling elements. So in one version, I think you've got like a series of boxes and you can click on them and you earn.
See, this is stuff that blew my mind, that all this was in the World War II RTS. Yeah.
You pay money to get a box that might have something good in it.
Yeah.
It's just like buying trading cards.
Yeah, you can buy boxes with better chances of earning stuff as well. But they're doing that, so it's a much more Western thing. The variety of squads that are available to earn is amazing. Like there's like dozens and dozens of them.
Eldar, Tyranids.
Boxes. That'd be amazing. actually, there needs to be like a comic, which is Coho versus Dawn of War. So cool. And it just works really well. It's really smart. They'll have they'll work on the interface to make it kind of fit out. Kind of needs get Facebook stuff in there, and the other cool thing is that they've specifically said, and they asked us to kind of put the word out, is that if you have a Company of Heroes game now, keep hold of your CD key, do not lose it, because I think their intention is to add more cool stuff to people who already bought Coho. Right. So buy Coho, buy Company of Heroes now, get
buy
it, buy Coho, and wait for it.
I just like, my favorite thing about it was the Korean version of it was run by a company called Windysoft.
Yeah.
Like the name Windysoft.
So that's kind of my picks from the issue.
Great. I'd like to talk about something that isn't an issue, but okay. I think of it as my sort of mini reinstall.
Okay.
I went to see Stronghold 3 recently, and Stronghold is a series of castle building games that is phenomenally successful. You might not have heard of it, but it's older.
Before we continue, can we check when the embargo for that runs out?
I'm not going to talk about Stronghold 3.
Okay, fine, cool.
It's already been announced. The game exists. I've seen it, but they haven't been talking about it yet. But yeah, Stronghold's a series that's I don't think it's got that much visibility here in the UK, at least.
It's very German.
But it is massively successful. It sold over 5 million units throughout the whole series. Jesus. And
everybody loves the castle.
And the first one is a very primitive kind of 2D RTS. Well, primitive graphically. It's very complex in terms of its mechanics. It's a game where instead of just building an archer, you have to get a woodcutter to cut down trees, then build a bow maker to craft it into a bow, and then build an armory to store the bow, and then a barracks to train the dude, and then actually have enough people to train.
Give me a pointy stick instead and make it more time.
It's surprisingly fun, right? And it's beloved by a huge community. Stronghold 2 was a 3D version that wasn't as well received by the community. It still sold well, but it got ridiculously complicated, and they gave me an example of how complicated it went, and it's the crime system that they added. So your guy who's gone off to cut some wood brings it back to the store, but at any time he might turn into a criminal in Stronghold 2, at which point he'll steal stuff from the store as well as not doing his job.
God.
And if you're lucky enough to actually spot this happening, then you have to post a guard there to stop him from doing it. But when the guard catches him doing it, he'll want to arrest him, and there's no prison. So you have to build a prison from the guy in. But then eventually the prison will get full because so many people have turned into criminals. And once they're all full, you have to get them out of there. You can't do that until you've tried them. So you have to build a courthouse. You build a courthouse, and then the criminals are tried, and they're found guilty, and then you've got no way to punish them. So you've got to build a torture chamber. And then there's no one to run the torture chamber because it's a specialized skill, so you have to create a torturer's guild. And then at the end of it, he tortures the dude and he goes back to woodcutting.
So I thought this is going to end where you have to build a hangman's kind of platform, but you've got no fucking wood.
I guess the guy stole it all. That would be a great twist, but not a great game.
I like the idea of torturer's guild. For here you go, 8-year-old child, we're going to send you off for the guild today. It's your new job.
Yeah.
Poking this man in the face repeatedly.
Anyway, the first game, like I say, is 2D and a bit more beloved by the community. And so the most recent game in Stronghold series wasn't a big 3D extravaganza. They went back to the first game and just added shit to it. And it runs so well on modern machines that they just went nuts with the unit counts. You can just have thousands of people on screen and it's epic wars.
That's Stronghold, it's kind of cool. Crusader Extreme.
Yep, Stronghold Crusader Extreme. The strongest hold of them all.
Do you ever get the feeling that, like, sometimes developers don't necessarily think through?
It's like the last minute thing they do. It's just like, oh shit, we've got to name it now.
Well, there's a Stronghold Crusader, and so they wanted to just tell people this is the same as that, but more units.
Okay.
Anyway, since I was going to see the third game, I thought I'd better brush up on what the last thing they released was. I never played it at the time. So I just got the demo of Stronghold Crusader Extreme. Yeah. And got my ass kicked completely. It's got like a two little sort of, they're not even Crusader Extreme missions, they're normal Crusader missions just to lead you into it so that you can then take on the extreme ones. And they're just things like, the first one's you've got to make 300 gold. And that was tough enough just to like figure out how everything worked and what you could put down and how you farmed stuff. And the second one is to make 300 loaves. I must have spent about 2 hours trying to make 300 loaves. It's fucking impossible because every now and then, four dudes on horses come up. And they're Mongolian raiders or something. And it's nearly like 20 minutes before the first one show up. But 20 minutes is not a long time when you have to build every little phase of your operation. So to make bread, you've got to build a wheat farm. And then the wheat farm's got to be stored on a stockpile. The stockpile can be carted to the mill. You've got to build a mill. And then the mill will export its flour to the stockpile. And then you take it back from the stockpile to a bakery where you can bake it into a loaf. And then you've got to store it in the granary.
You should just play as Jesus.
And then I did that. And I still was, I had loads of granaries and mills all up and running, and it was working fine. and I still had zero bread. I had loads of apples, but no bread. And it's because bread is tastier than apples. And so all my citizens were eating the bread. And I was only just kind of breaking even in terms of the amount of food I was producing, the amount of food they were eating. And so all the bread I was making was getting eaten straight away, and all my apples were being left alone. So I had to manually tell people, don't eat bread. Bread is not for you. Bread is for the objective.
I love the idea of you running around your town knocking on, please don't eat bread. Next house, please don't eat bread.
It's not for food.
What you need to do is create a sugar plantation, turn that sugar into toffee, and create toffee apples.
Well, while I was doing this, every time the four Mongolian raiders showed up, they would just slaughter everybody. Because they're mounted archers, yeah. Which, as far as I can tell, was the nuke of the day. Because there's nothing you can do about them.
Oh my God.
They move too fast to hit with arrows, and they're firing arrows at you, so your melee troops can't get to them. The way Stronghold works is you're trying to build a castle, ideally. I never built one, because I just never got that far.
Apples.
But your castle is well defended, but you can't farm inside a castle because you just can't make one big enough to encompass farmland. So there's always farmland outside. All your farms are very vulnerable all the time, and your castles are very well defended, and it's how you distribute your defenses to kind of protect that stuff. And I couldn't, because I was only just struggling to keep up with this game at all. So every time the four Mongolian archers came up, they killed, I had like 86 people in my village. They just slaughtered every last one of them, every single person who I had. And the only way I could ever survive at all was that you have a king unit who just stands next to this campfire, kind of just chilling, basically.
Yeah.
And he can't do much. He's like a king in chess. Like, he moves incredibly slowly. But he's kind of like you. And so they're giving him quite a lot of hit points. And so every time the Mongolian raiders come up on their horses, I'd just tell him to attack them, like, as soon as they showed up. Yeah. And they would ride around for like 5 minutes, shooting all my pedestrians, setting fire, all my civilians, setting fire to all my camps, just pillaging the whole village, all the while my king is just slowly walking towards their armies. And they're going back and forth, they're going across the whole width of the map, so he's changing direction all the time. Like, he'll walk towards the left-hand corner of the map, and by the time he's got there, they're all over to the right. But he just never stops. He just takes one step at a time.
He's a Terminator.
Constantly towards them. And eventually, they've got nowhere to go. And when he gets them, he just fucking butchers them. Just like, it doesn't just kill the people, it kills the horses too. There's just blood spraying everywhere and just this pile of corpses. And sometimes he'll just get one and the others manage to get away, but it's no good because they've got nothing else left to destroy, and so it's just constantly. And I did this for like sort of, it killed about 26 in the end in different hordes, because every time I build some archers, you know, I finally got enough wood to make the bows, and then bows to put in the armory and all that stuff. I'd have like sort of two by the time the guys showed up, and they can't track moving targets, so their arrows always miss anyway, and they just get butchered again. So once again, I just send out my king.
Was your bread all right, though?
Yeah, eventually.
Did you win the level?
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah. I had to start again, but...
You baked the shit out of that level.
Yeah, yeah. I had so many fucking meals. It was insane.
Okay, so I don't really know why...
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I've been playing.
Okay, cool. Where do we go from here?
Twitter questions, I guess?
Fucking hell, it's time to go and drink in a second, actually.
Yeah, you can see the people out there looking at it, and it's going, come on, move
okay,
it.
Okay, well, we can't leave, do you do?
Let's do some super fast Twitter questions. PCM will be soon closing its doors. Do you think this is the beginning of the end for gaming masks? No. I am sad that PC Zone is leaving, even though they are the enemy, and will always remain the enemy, but they have been a good enemy.
Even after we bought them, they became part of our company.
Yeah, they were still the enemy, and I'm really sad.
Yeah, PC Zone is what got me into... games writing and into just the idea that writing about games can be exciting independently of the games themselves.
The best enemies ever.
PC Gamer is sticking around, and PC Gamer is quite good.
I was
surrounded by all the PC Zone guys over the develop, and many whenever there was a silence in the conversation at the games industry drinks, there was a toast.
It does really suck for the guys who are still working there. But it should be said that it was quite a small team by the end of it.
Yeah. And we may be picking up some of their freelancers as well. Naming no names, log. So that'd be cool. Ed Stern asks, any news from Dev Elope 2010?
This Ed Stern goes slightly insane throughout the day.
This is the fake conference he created so that he wouldn't feel left out of the main conference.
Okay. What's the goss? Who is Skinny Goss?
Just say it and let's move on.
Let's move on.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Ed.
What's your favourite race in StarCraft 2, says GeForce FX?
I like the Tyranids.
I like the Helmet.
Spy.
I play
Cheese Wheels.
They
just roll.
Just so everyone knows, this has been recorded at 5:10 on a Friday.
Stephen Pip asks, will the internet ever get over Quake sounds? Discuss.
God, I hope so.
I think this is a TF2 related question, isn't it? Because
it's remarkable.
They actually unreal tournament sounds, aren't they? But they get Quake sounds for some reason. They're all
I mean, I don't understand, because whenever I have the misfortune to forget to set my settings and the sound settings, and Valve, all the games now say do not download any custom sounds and whatever. Yeah. They never actually do anything anyway. So I get on the server, I've spent fucking half an hour, I haven't bothered quite or whatever, and I get on there and it's not like I'm getting dominating whenever I'm beating it.
It's just not dominating people.
It's just...
Gail Prime asks, what's in my head? Well, tumbleweed, rolls in skull. Thoughts about Guild Wars 2?
Guild Wars 2 is going to be awesome.
Yeah, okay. Read PCGamer.com for many thoughts.
Actually, if you we did a big interview with the lead designer about the new class, the Ranger. At the bottom of that is a link to the videos on their official site. Which show off like the individual skills. There are some awesome ones in there.
Cool. That's a TF2.
Oh, you can have a shark as a pet in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Do you have a like tanky character around it?
Because you can switch your pets in and out, so when you're underwater you can just have a shark pet.
Isn't that cool? Right, okay. Oh, so
it's not on land.
Not the land shark, the credit land shark.
Mr. Craig Al asks, will anyone defeat the Choc Chip Hobnobs in the Biscuit Wars? Will Broken Bourbon get fixed? Find out next week in Biscuit Wars.
Not after the biscuit industry crashes when everyone over 50 is killed by that game.
Yeah. Fate of the world, everyone. Out in September.
Max Ursa asks, is there a PC Gamer Corp or chat channel in EVE? If not, there should be. PCG staff's EVE character names.
I am in the process now of trying to set one up, and I would like to start a PCG Corp. So if you want to play EVE, and if you're good at EVE, let me know on the website. And we've got now a Play With PC Gamer EVE online forum as well, so come there.
And Rich has all the powers to moderate it?
Yeah, probably.
Terrifying.
So we are going to dominate the galaxy.
Yep. Fantastic. Or maybe float around quietly and try not to get killed. But I'll see. We'll see whoever we get.
It's going
to
be it's the start of a great adventure. Yep. And anyone who is interested in EVE should join in, and we can discover that game together.
Can you at least run it on another monitor while you're playing a proper game?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no. Yeah, that's
cool. How many minings have you done so far?
All of them. The whole galaxy.
Yeah, all of the minings.
No, I think we get
to
work out what our corp focus should be, but it should be something nefarious. It's
espionage, killing everyone and being evil.
So someone told me that there is a monolith in EVE somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. The first mission should be for you to find it.
Find the monolith.
Yeah.
Thomas, you've seen it?
Yeah, I think I've been there.
Well, don't tell Rich where it is. He needs to check.
It's really cool. Doing stuff like that in EVE is awesome because it's just one contiguous world. So that is one single place. Everyone who's seen that has been to that exact location.
Is there a floating baby in space?
Shall we take ownership of that monolith?
Set up base there. It's a long way from any minerals.
It's the one game where that's easier said than done.
Cool. So we need help to explain EVE to us.
Well, Rich has friends to do.
No, Rich doesn't have any friends.
I don't have any. I played it.
Rich has paid people to tell him. Yeah.
Come and sit next to me and be my right-hand man.
But you told me you had like four friends.
Well, the people on the forum that have already said they would like to do it.
And then you made them sound like, oh, awesome and brilliant. Just and now you're just
old chums.
Everybody in our community is awesome and brilliant.
That is true, actually. Well, they're not. Not everyone's awesome.
Not everyone.
That guy yesterday, I didn't like him. Okay. EGTF asks, what's it like having a half Scottish office?
Horrible.
It's fucking disgusting, actually.
Fucking hell. I hate those Scots.
Racism time.
Yeah. Actually, it's only...
It's only xenophobic. Apparently Scotland's technically not a country, so
go ahead. We don't even afford them that.
It's only you and Graham, though, isn't it?
And Jazz.
Jazz is Scottish as well, isn't
it? Ross used to be half Scottish.
Stanton on edge as well.
Do I look Scottish?
Yeah.
I'm going to headbutt you for that.
It's the blue face paint. When you take that off, yeah.
Well, my old leader, Mel Gibson.
Okay, former King of Scotland.
Yeah.
We actually have to stop the podcast now in case
for so many reasons.
Yeah. It's not going to stop because no one's going to stop recording.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening. This is slightly shorter, but hey, we did two.
Yes!
That's one more than one.
We will endeavour to do one more than two later. No, we won't.
That's crazy.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.